Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We've heard the term often that water is life. But we know that access to and affordability to clean, healthy water was a national crisis before the COVID-19 pandemic, including right here in Western New York. However, since the pandemic, where we've been told by public health and elected officials to everyone to shelter in place, practice good hygiene and social distancing to flatten the curve, access to water is essential to adhere to those mandates. This is a public health imperative to save lives and reduce community spread. And while we applaud Buffalo Water for the moratorium on shutoff and the step to reconnect people who are impacted if they call, we feel that they can be more proactive in their measures to ensure public safety and minimize community spread. I think it's important to always hear from the people who are impacted in our community because they are the ones whose lived experience tells us things that we may not automatically know if we are not impacted by those issues ourselves. And so I would like Mike, a very brave local resident, to share his story on the impact to him and how it's been to live without water.
Hello, my name is Mike. I'm a 67-year-old Vietnam veteran. I have COPD, diabetes, heart disease, and high blood pressure, which would not be good if I had COVID-19. 2 years ago, I had a stroke and was out of work for 6 months. As a result, my water was shut off. The water was off for about 16 months. I worked part-time and only received about $260 a week. My roof leaks, and I can't afford to get it replaced, so I collected the rainwater in buckets to flush the toilet. I would buy water to do dishes, showers, and for drinking. Before the water was turned back on, I could not find water. The weekend before my water was turned on, I went to two different stores. Finally, the third store, I found water. And then my water was turned back on March 20th, Friday. Thanks to me being a client of the Western New York Law Center. My lawyer told me to call the number for the water company, but they did not have a selection for turning it back on. I called them back. He did get the water on for me that day, and I'm very grateful for my lawyer and the Law Center. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Now I would like for Andrea to tell us exactly what are the steps that are needed in this moment, because every day that we wait, I think the more lives that will be lost.
Thank you so much, Rawa. And thank you, Mike, for sharing that. Maybe after we all speak, I'd love to just hear from Mike as well on how life has changed now that you have running water back in your home. But in short, for almost 2 weeks now, community and legal services organizations have pressed the city to do two things. First, to communicate more widely and effectively how people can get their water restored. And second, to take proactive steps to go out and restore water. And having a sense that in this emergency situation, we can't afford any more delay, this group of partners came together and came up with a list of just six very practical steps that the city could take to show at this time that restoring water to its residents is a top priority. And we now have 70 organizations who have signed on to this list of steps, and we have sent that to the mayor and O.J. McFoy, chairman of the Buffalo Water Board, as a letter signed by 70 community organizations. Well, I'll share briefly these six steps. Under effective communication and outreach, first, the city could send letters via first-class mail to all Buffalo Water customers who were shut off at any time in the last year. This could share that water can now be turned on at no cost by calling Buffalo Water Customer Service, and the letter should be clearly distinguishable from a bill so that people feel comfortable opening it. Second, the city and Buffalo Water can run repeated public service announcements on radio and television with the Buffalo Water Customer Service phone number read or displayed repeatedly and slowly. The city could also be making more use of social media to get the word out. We've only seen one time so far, and it was actually just yesterday, that the mayor had on his Facebook page the number to call to have your water restored, the actual phone number. Third, under communication and outreach, is to update the website of Buffalo Water. Still today, there's no information on the Buffalo Water website on how to get your water restored. And that information was just added yesterday to the overall City of Buffalo website. We then have three practical steps under actual service restoration, proactive steps for water service restoration. First, the Water Board could create a database of all residences where it turned off water and where the residence was occupied at that time. So when the city turns off water, a city worker marks on a form whether the house was occupied on that day that water is shut off. So that means the city knows where did it turn off water, very specifically, it has all those addresses, and at the time, which of those homes were occupied. So that database could be a crucial starting list to confirm where are residents still living without water now. Second, the Water Board has the phone numbers for account holders who have and are able to maintain phones. And so again, using this internal data that it has, city staff could be calling residents to ask, are you without water? Can we restore it for you? And get those appointments scheduled to go out and turn on the water. There's a lot of city staff who are working from home now, and this list could be divided up and city staff should be able to make these calls. I will say that many of us community organizations have been reaching out to our partners and local residents to share information and try to learn who is currently without water. But the city and Buffalo Water ultimately will have a much broader platform. They have the power and the critical information needed to more quickly reach people and restore their water. Third and finally, under service restoration, we would ask the city to report out on the number of residents who have their water service restored at this time. So we'd really like to know, one, at the start of this crisis, back around March 15th, how many residents were without water at that time? And then two, every week since then, how many customers have requested water turn-ons and how many turn-ons are actually happening? And we believe this is such a critical public health issue that we would actually like a daily update at this time of how many homes are having their water restored each day. So again, as these practical steps demonstrate, a lot of these are real common sense, not heavy lift steps. And for us, this would actually show that the City of Buffalo is taking the lack of water seriously and show that they consider it a top priority. At this time, we know that staying at home and washing your hands is the just universal guidance for this crisis. And so no resident of the City of Good Neighbors should be forced to live without water. And I will turn it over then to Kevin Quinn, the supervising attorney at the Center for Elder Law and Justice, to speak to how this specifically impacts their client population.
Kevin, you're mute.
There you go. Thank you, Andrea, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for being on this important call. My name is Kevin Quinn. I'm a supervising attorney at the Center for Elder Law and Justice in Buffalo. Our office provides civil legal services to individuals over the age of 60 throughout the city of Buffalo, as well as the 8 Western New York counties. While the city has taken some steps to initiate water restorations, it simply has not been enough. And I'd like to just share some perspective of the seniors I work with and the challenges that they are facing by following the protocol that the city has laid out thus far for water restoration. The current procedure operates under the assumption that residents have access to print or electronic news and also social media. The procedure also operates under the assumption that residents have access to a telephone so that they can call Buffalo Water to make an appointment. I can tell you that this is not the case for many of the clients that we work with. We reach a lot of our clients by going out into the community and letting them know that we are here for them. They're not always able to proactively find us and contact us for assistance. So while there has been some progress as far as restorations, for a large part of our population, this simply is not enough to reach them. We've heard from leaders in government and the medical field that the best precaution one can take to prevent contracting COVID-19 is to wash your hands. We've also heard that the elderly are most vulnerable to becoming severely ill with this virus. We are calling on the city of Buffalo to be more proactive to ensure that Buffalonians have access to essential water service. All residents, and more particularly senior citizens, could be faced with a life or death situation without essential water service. With that being said, I will pass things along to Stephen Halpern of the Western New York Law Center.
Thanks, Kevin. Good morning, everyone. I'm privileged to be Mike's lawyer. The challenge that city officials face here is fundamentally a moral one. The moral question is simple. What is the ethical obligation they have to our most vulnerable residents during the greatest crisis facing our city in living memory? A crisis threatening the life of every one of us. Living through this crisis, we are all struggling. We are all anxious, stressed, and fearful. But imagine if you will, how anxious, stressed, and fearful you would feel if you were struggling to survive this without water. In that struggle, city officials had the opportunity and responsibility to act to protect our most vulnerable residents. They squandered that opportunity. They failed to meet that responsibility. Before that crisis, they showed the know-how and power to act to shut off water to our poorest residents by the thousands to collect money. Now they must show that know-how and power to act to save lives. Thank you.
Great, thank you everyone. We will open it up to questions from the press.
EN Radio here. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes, we can, Mike.
Okay, so I'm trying to get an understanding just on the grand scope of things. I know you guys obviously want water access for City of Buffalo residents. We heard Michael's story. Do you know how many people are in a similar situation as Mike?
So that's a very good question, and we would love to have that data, which is why we're asking for the city to report out on it. We do have data from previous years that we've gotten through research requests. Unfortunately, we don't have the 2020 data for how many folks have had their water shut off in recent months. But just as background, from 2015 through March 2019, the city shut off water in over 17,000 instances. We do have data from this time last year, so January, February, March 2019. We know that the city shut off water to 250 to 300 homes per month, and that around half of those were occupied at the time. And so we would expect that there would be hundreds of people in this situation when the coronavirus crisis started. And anything, I know Steve has really been digging into this issue, so feel free to add as well.
No, I think that's fine, Andrea. Those are the numbers, and they're, as you can hear, they're quite substantial.
And I would just also like to add that why we think that's substantial, maybe some people would hear that and say, well, that's not a lot of people. But in this moment, how are people accessing water just for drinking water and to do simple things like do the dishes and other, ways of practicing good hygiene when we know for a fact that many people are finding it difficult to find water in the places where they would normally purchase them. And they are making several trips to multiple stores to try to get their needs met.
I would just say on this issue that the kind of data that we're seeking in terms of the numbers of people who were living without water at the time this crisis hit and the number of people whose water has been restored, that's fundamental governmental transparency about very basic information of importance to the community. And all that we're asking the city to do is to provide that public information now and to continue to do so on a running basis so that we have a sense for what progress they're making in dealing with this problem. It's hard to fathom why that information should not be regularly available. Every day in the county executives, the televised reports, every day in the governor's reports, there are numbers about who's affected, about who's in hospital, about who's gotten tested and so forth. Why the city can't follow that example and provide information about water and water shutoffs and water turnoffs is frankly beyond me.
Hi, folks. Michael Mroziak, WBFO. And my question is, once we get out of the current pandemic crisis, it's kind of a two-part question. How do you then negotiate with the city to make sure that these folks who needed to have water restored as a result of the pandemic will be able to maintain some service, at least for a while, till they can get back on their feet? I also guess part of the question is adding to that, when we come out of this pandemic, I mean, we're going to be diving headfirst into a recession. There's no denying that. So tell me the challenge of speaking with the city about trying to make sure that these clients are still getting water or adequate service just enough to get them back on their feet once we're through the worst of this.
That's a great question, Mike. I mean, the reality is once we do get through this, we will be facing a continuing problem. We obviously had a problem before this. Once we're through this, there will be, we would hope, hundreds of people who've had their water turned back on who still won't have the ability to pay the money they owe. In the clients that I have seen, people owe anywhere from, I say, $2,000 to $15,000 thus far. After this crisis, those dollars will obviously go up. And so the city and the Buffalo Water Board needs to be proactive in dealing with this problem going forward. I am very concerned about the shutoffs that might occur once we get out of this thing. And I think it's incumbent upon the city and the water board to plan for this. I don't think it's remotely unreasonable to suggest that there be a forgiveness program. Of all the debt that people owe to the water board, those programs have existed in the past in other cities. Baltimore's had such a program. Philadelphia's had such a program. Detroit has tried such a program. It seems to me there's no reason why we can't initiate a similar program here in this city so that people living on fixed, limited incomes already aren't saddled with debt that they will never get out from under.
If I could just add to that, we've worked for years trying to help people who've had water service shut off, and As Steve mentioned, the bills are just absolutely outrageous, part due to fees and penalties and high interest rates. So if someone were to fall behind on their bill for some financial hardship, the system's really designed to fail for them. How are they going to get caught up with their bill now with added interest, penalties, and fees? It's just not possible. So, you know, that's been an issue that we've tried to combat, you know, long before this pandemic. And it's something that, as Steve mentioned, the city should take a proactive approach on once we get out of this to make sure that people still have water and aren't saddled with these ridiculous fees. Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable, like Steve said, to have a conversation about forgiveness and starting fresh so that people have water going forward also.
And I would just add there, you know, one thing, Mike, the client of the Law Center, is on the phone, and as he shared, he was without water for 16 months. And even in this crisis moment, it's very unlikely he would have gotten his water back on without the Western New York Law Center advocating for him, sharing information and representing him. And then we've just heard Kevin share, of course, about the good work of the Center for Elder Law and Justice in representing folks. But it's long been on our agenda to address the issues that Steve and Kevin talked about. And this crisis is really holding up a magnifying glass to the structural inequalities and the problems in our system that have been around for a long time. So in this moment, we're most concerned with folks who are simply not reached by service organizations like the Law Center or the Elder Center. That's why we'd like to see the city use the information that only they have to be able to reach these residents. And I'm sure Mike, Steve, Kevin can tell you, the folks who are simply unable to make minimum payments and keep their water going, a lot of those folks are going to be unlikely to be regularly in and out of community organizations and getting that other assistance that they might need as well.
Mike, if you wouldn't mind, would you be willing to talk a little bit about what you had to do and what life was like for you living without water? Only if you don't mind, Mike.
I don't mind. I sort of got used to it. It was so long. But, you know, taking a bath was heating up a big pot of water, and I had a cup, and I'd pour water on me, wipe my head, soap it up, pour another cup, rinse it off, and work my way down. Cooking, you'd go for, I had gallons of water I would buy for cooking, showers, dishes. Easily, I wouldn't even bother heating it up. I would just, you know, except for showers, of course. Nobody wants a cold shower. But, it's really a pain. You know, you can't just go and turn on the water. You have to buy it every week. You have to make sure you have enough to make it through the week. You guesstimate and hope that you guess right.
And Mike, can you tell us what has been your experience? It's just been about a week or so, or a little bit more than a week since you've had water. How is it different than it was without it?
Oh, the shower felt so good. A real shower. I felt like I got cleaner with the water on. It's nice, you know, being able to, and especially with this virus going around, washing hands. Luckily I had hand sanitizer. But I was using that quite a bit. But it's so nice to be able to just turn on the faucet, wash your hands, get a drink of water without having to get a bottle and look and see, make sure I had enough to make it through the week. That was the biggest thing, was just making sure that I have enough water to make it through the week. Did I buy enough? Like, I had to do a lot of dishes. Well, there goes more of those water. So there goes my shower water. And yeah, it's just so nice. It's so different.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
If it's all right with you guys, I'd like to ask a question to Mike, the client. I'm just wondering, Mike, you know, how this situation came about for you. How did you get in this situation where your water was shut off in the first place? I know you mentioned your health issues, but I mean, were there other factors that led to it? I mean, I would imagine it would come down to not being able just to pay the bills.
I didn't have the money. I was out of work 6 months. The only money I had coming in would cover the mortgage and my car insurance. And I needed the car to get to the hospital, which is across town from where I live. I go to the VA hospital, and I live across town from there. And I had to buy food. I don't know how I kept the electric and the gas on, but it was a choice between the three. And the water lost. I needed electricity in the house. Keep the refrigerator going, keep the food frozen and cold. I got out of the house. I came back home right before November 2 years ago. And I needed heat. So it was just, I didn't have the money.
And I would just also like to add that this is part of a larger problem. This is not just a problem that Mike is experiencing in our line of work. We see this often where people have to make decisions about paying utilities or putting food on the table oftentimes. And, you know, we know that in America, the average American, more than 50% of Americans could not afford about a $400 emergency bill that will certainly, you know, they will be in trouble. They will be in the same position and have to make the same decisions that Mike has had to make. And in Buffalo, I think we oftentimes forget that we are still the third poorest city in America. This is generational poverty. People are already in crisis. So when you have an actual crisis like this pandemic, everything becomes exasperated. And as Andrea shared with you, all of that now is under a magnifying glass where we can see it in our community across, you know, every level of services that we can imagine. And what we are asking for is in this moment, as Steve has said, that this is actually a moral obligation. Yes, we will have to come up with solutions on the back end of this pandemic. But right now we are trying to flatten the curve, even though as we see that in our community, it is beginning to peak. And as the public health officials have said, there are more than 10 times of the people that currently have been diagnosed, and there's no ability to test. So if we're asking people to shelter in place, to practice good hygiene, then we need to give them and do everything in our power that they have the essential services to do that. And as many community members across Buffalo are doing with mutual aid, trying to house the homeless, trying to figure out where people that are incarcerated coming out and trying to get people basic things like food and water and other household needs so that we can minimize community spread. We are trying to cast as big enough of a net to try to catch people and to reduce the harm in our community. And we are asking the city of Buffalo and Buffalo Water to step up and work with us. This is not about, you know, calling them out in any way. It is that we are asking, we want to work with you and find all the creative solutions in order to meet the community's needs.
Rawa, this is Lauren Breen from Neighborhood Legal Services. I just want to highlight that we really have two categories of people who are harmed in this situation. We have the people who have been shut off for non-payment, and we have people who have structural problems, low-income homeowners who simply can't afford to repair their water mains. And the program through the City of Buffalo, through HUD, requires that people be current with their water bills, be current with their taxes, be current with their user fee bills in order to be eligible for a loan or a grant to make those repairs. So the programs in place right now, if you're behind, and you're going to be behind, right, simply don't address the needs that we have for people, as Kevin mentioned, people who are on a fixed income and just low-income homeowners. So we've got two categories of water customers who are harmed here.
Could I just have Andrea and our moderator say their names again, just so I know I'm getting it right on the air?
Sure. My name is Andrea O'Sullivan.
And my name's Rawa Gurmatsian.
Easy, easy, Mike. Come on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There'll be a quiz on this later, Mike.
Don't worry. I'll make sure I get it right. Thanks.
Thank you. And we are happy to send the folks that are here from press a recording of this press conference.
Yeah, we have video recorded. So if you'd like to receive it to pull the audio, I'm sure you have your own systems. You can email me, Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, at ppgbuffalo.org. And I'm happy to reply with a link to the video.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, well, hearing none, I just want to thank all of you again, in particular the press that took time out of their very busy schedules to join us. In particular, I am grateful to Mike for being so just amazing and brave to share his story so that other people can get the help that they need. And of course, all of my colleagues who have been working on this issue tirelessly for the last couple of weeks, I'm grateful to be in this work with all of you. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.